Wow, I have been so blown away by the feedback from my students inside the Design Business Accelerator. You guys are giving me life. I am so motivated to create more to help you succeed in your business and create the interior design business of your dreams. With that, I am totally on board for creating more content that helps you get where you need to go faster for a more profitable and successful business. So stay tuned as we're about to launch client presentations that convert. So many of you have asked me for that. I know you want in, and that Trello tutorial and templates is totally a game changer for those of you that really need help on process. Want to know what I'm talking about? Go check it out. It's at designbiztoolkit.com. We're having a 50% special right now. I know, like really huge enrollment special. So run on over to www.designbiztoolkit.com and I'll tell you all about it. All right. Thanks for being here. Let's jump into the next episode of Behind the Drapery.
Ever thought about starting your own business as an interior designer? Join Liz Levin, nationally published design entrepreneur of 20 years, as she interviews experts, colleagues, and creatives to pull back the curtain on the design industry. Whether you're passionate about design, eager to start your design business, or simply curious about what happens behind the scenes, we're here to open the doors for you. Welcome to Behind the Drapery Podcast.
Hey friends, today I'm so excited to bring a good friend and colleague, Marika Meyer, to the podcast. Marika and I have come up together as young designers in the Washington, D.C. area for the past 20 years. As friends and colleagues, we could talk for hours about the design world, our client projects, families, all the things. Marika has a world of experience under her belt, and I am thrilled to bring that to you today on Behind the Drapery. In addition to her full-service interior design firm, Marika Meyer Studio, where she has multiple team members managing so many high-end projects at a time, somehow she's also found the space to create her passion project, Marika Meyer Textiles. Launched over 5 years ago, it's a go-to favorite for interior designers. Through her rigorous testing to ensure quality, functionality, and longevity, her fabric collection and rugs are created to help provide a beautiful and uniquely practical tool for fellow interior designers in their role as the chief problem solver. With a simple process for creating custom pieces, she helps designers realize their dreams, clients' needs, and aesthetics. Today, anyone can bring a touch of timeless style and iconic imagery into their home with her fabrics and rug collection. Available in distinctive colors, patterns, and textures, and available by the yard or as pillows, her textiles are designed to fit every need and are fully customizable. True to her company's ethos, she believes life is not a dress rehearsal, and no one needs permission to enjoy everyday luxuries, especially at home. Marika engages her clients to create beautiful, functional spaces that embody their own unique energy and aesthetic. I am so excited to have Marika here today. You're going to learn so much. And if you've ever wanted to start a textile or fabric line, we're going to tell you how. So let's jump in and welcome Marika Meyer to this week's episode of Behind the Drapery. I'm your host, Liz Levin.
Being a designer right now, the value proposition is hard because there's so many of our vendors are selling everything online and everything's so accessible and you've seen everything, right? I mean, I feel like I've seen everything.
Yeah.
There's nothing new outside of making it yourself. So as a designer, like I know a lot of us, right? We're doing all kinds of our own like custom furniture pieces. Like we do a ton of vintage just from like an environmental perspective. But so I really, really wanted to have this textile line, like designed by designer for designers. Like that's kind of our motto.
And to make it, to create it from your own perspective as a designer, that makes a lot of sense. Creating something, a need, fulfilling a need, customization, ease, not making it so expensive to customize that it's off-putting and you're unsellable, really. I mean,
right.
I love to customize everything.
And Gretchen, you know, getting set up, I like showed her the heavy oyster linen and it's like, we went to the workrooms. How does this upholster? How is this going to hang? Just getting all of that feedback so that, again, it's for designers to be able to express themselves as much as they can and to be able to create something for a client, even if it is pillow, you know, just fabric for pillows or fabric for a chair, completely one of a kind. It's been a total journey. I've learned all kinds of different things that I never thought I would know. Again, like something that's very important to me just as a mom with young kids is the environment. So we're a member of the Sustainable Furnishings Council. We source all of our like shipping and packaging materials compostable. You know, we've We have different shipping facilities based on where we're shipping to minimize our carbon footprint. Like, we've really, really run with it also. So it makes me just feel, just again, like as a mom, I worry so much about our kids' future. So into like manufacturing, we've done with like great pride. And so that makes me happy too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can feel good about it. And the sustainability factor needs to be addressed. I mean, you were talking about all these memos and disrespecting the memos, not disrespecting the memos. I've got so many and I don't. Were you involved in a project about, I feel like I remember something, memo recycling or repurposing? Was that you?
Yes, Scrap is a company. And I think they're out of like the New York area where they will take fabrics back and they will recycle them. We were trying to put together a big truck down here because we all have so many remnants, right? It's like remnants and cuts of materials that just aren't usable. You know, it's like the odd triangle from the repeat of the pillow and this, that, the other. And yeah. It's disgusting to think that that's just going to end up in a landfill. And they will upcycle, either recycle it or upcycle it for, you know, for like upholstery fill or all kinds of different things. There are all these neat people who are doing great work to help, but you have to set the intention, identifying that you don't want to be part of that problem. We have a wallpaper book that our intern pulled out yesterday and she said it's being discontinued. And I was like, okay, well, let's figure out what, you know, I'm sure an art school or in one of the elementary schools around here would love it and they could do something, you know, with it. It's like just setting the intention of being a little bit more thoughtful. It takes a little bit more time, but it's not hard, you know?
I wish there was something like the clothing donation, for lack of a better word, there look like clean dumpster, so to speak. Yeah, the green.
Yeah, like Green Drop.
Do they have that for fabric and memos? I mean, if we had a big one here, wouldn't it be great? Either at the design center or somewhere in town. I mean, Scrap, come get it. It's so hard for them probably to scale within money.
Well, that's the thing. It's so expensive for them. And it's so, I mean, you also want to try to do something like localized because you start defeating the purpose if you're sending trucks 200 miles to do stuff. But it is true. And I know like a lot, at least even with like memos and things like that, a lot of the schools will use them. There are a lot of like quilting organizations for some scrap.
And again, it's like, it would be, it's getting creative on how to be sustainable.
That's right. It's spending a little bit of time, a little bit of intention, like for us with our packaging. You know, we sometimes receive packages from vendors and I'm just thinking about the cost. It's like, I got a box the other day and box and tissue and ribbons. And I was like, this was a major expense to put together. But B, now I feel so gross about throwing out all this packaging. It's so, I feel terrible that, you know, like what am like, it's all this packaging. So
or it's how like about those things. Big boxes of memos or like fabric books that order? I get them. I don't have a place to store them because I'm not in a big office. And so I'm like, I don't have a place to recycle them. I've thrown them away. You know, I don't know what to do with them. And that's terrible. And I haven't been thoughtful or creative about it. Now I need to be.
It's taking time out of it. And you're also like, don't ship, you know, all these boxes that are getting shipped around that nobody's requesting. And I get it from the textile side, you know, as a textile vendor, we need to get our stuff out there and the word out, but not do it in a wasteful way or everybody means well. And we're all trying to do it the right way. As with everything, right, we can, as a group, we can get together and maybe we should see about trying to get that fabric scrap truck down here and just do a big thing.
That would be
a great project.
Make it easy. Or just one big drop-off section one big drop-off location we could periodically just... go. Yeah. Maybe they come once a year and pick it up from somebody's wonderful one of our receiving warehouses. I'm sure they'd love to.
Actually, but yeah. I bet, you know what? I bet that they would.
Space, right?
As a group, we could. This is a solvable problem.
And we should put some links too in the show notes of some of these places that, you know, fabric scrap. If you want to send links, I'll include them in your episode so people can go reference the book, your fabric.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sustainable Furnishings Council, which has all companies that have taken pledges on the manufacturing side, which is really exciting. You know, like Lee Industries, it was like kind of the like platinum level green company, but so many other companies are doing things that you may not even be aware of that as a designer, you're making decisions about who you're sourcing from. It's really nice to know that you're working with people who have who are thinking about this stuff and who are taking pledges. And again, like with that, a lot of what we do on the interior side is we're recovering so much more, you know, we're recovering pieces, we're rebuilding pieces. Like, a client may have like a very old knife edge kind of skirted sofa. And I, first thing, I'm always looking at the legs. I'm like, let's see what your legs are. You know, yeah, let's look at those legs. You know, any cushion can be remade, but it's like, there's so much great stuff out there. It's just setting the intention, I think.
And I do think COVID forced more people to repurpose things, and we could not get new goods. You know, the normal channel taking a year plus. It's like, all right, let's go check out the vintage, you know, get a sofa faster and redo it. And then that channel got clogged, all the reupholstery unavailable. It was sort of like everybody was scrambling from thing to thing. I remember O. Henry House was making sofas faster than the bigger vendors for a minute. And then when I went back a second time for a project, they too were jammed. I was like, dang it. And then,
oh my gosh.
And Liz, the reupholsters were jammed. I was like, I can't.
It was January. I installed two sofas that I'd been waiting on for 2 years.
Are you kidding me? Oh my God.
It was the last COVID order. And the day, wow. I'm not even kidding you. The day we installed them, and we have an amazing client, and they were very busy, and you know, and they were like, it's fine. So the day we installed the two sofas, I was like, there better not be anything wrong with these sofas. Better they not. Come in. And I was at an event that evening at the design center, and the rep came up to me without knowing that we had just installed the two sofas that had taken 2 years. And he was like, oh, Marika, guess what? We're down to 6 weeks now. And I was like, oh, too soon.
Too soon for like, those 2 years lead time. I don't know if I'm coming back for more on that.
I looked at him and I just was like, I can't, I don't have any words right now. I'm sorry.
Thank you, but no thank you. Yeah.
No thank you. I know. So
yeah, it was painful. I mean, we talk about this almost in every episode because we all have PTSD from those years.
Oh my gosh.
Where everything that, you know, we understood to be true for 20 years or 18, whatever year it was, because it was four years ago already. Yeah. Nothing. It was suddenly on its head, and none of our reliable resources were reliable. I mean, people understood to a certain point, but then it kept going. Like a year later, a year and a half later, to your point, 4 years later, you're getting the sofa. I mean, that's bananas. That's the worst.
Yeah. Well, and still, like, appliances, we're still seeing some of that with appliances, right? And now with like induction and people being so excited about induction, and now you're like, oh, here we go again.
I actually redid my kitchen, fully gutted it, right? I think it was 2021. So I got appliances, but I think they were part of the rush crank out of the pandemic. Well, I think I got some lemons, actually. My roommate has had more repairs. The people have been great about repairing it. I was like, look, at what point does a $12,000 range get labeled a lemon? They're replacing it for us. That's the end of the story.
Are they?
2 years later, after many, many repairs from them.
Right.
Like, all the computer stuff, like there was water damage from it being assembled wherever it was made overseas, because everything was just crazy and not managed well. And even if you got the oven, it had water damage. The motherboard had everything computery. It's like the actual the hardware, the things.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay. But all of the computer stuff, which is the brain of it, and the screen and all of that, it's not working right now, actually. I'm waiting for a replacement. It'll work for a minute. I'm not kidding you. My $200 Breville toaster oven has been supporting my family better than this $12,000 range. Say what it is, because I don't want to disparage anybody. But I can't believe, as someone in the industry who kind of knows what they're doing and has relationships
in this.
Yeah. And I think it's just, my husband's like, it's a lemon. We don't induct the lemon law or whatever that is. I was like, and then there's all these channels. Oh, you need to have 75 repairs before they will agree that it's junk. I was like, well, there's water on the inside. Oh, well, the grease is coming from the griddle. I didn't design the oven. So I rarely use that griddle and it's messing up the brain of the thing. Okay. Anyway, it's beyond frustrating. So maybe wait that year and a half for the other stove.
But again, that's like the stuff you can't make up. You're like, I can't actually make this up. How am I dealing with this?
So as we're talking, I'm thinking it would be fun. And people talk about tell-all books. And what was that? The nanny diaries and all of that. And you could completely write that about this. But nobody wants to disparage client relationships, obviously. But it might be a funny book if I just collected everybody's wildest product, you know, wildest, what we're talking about, vendor
issue,
the thing that you can't make up. I'm going to come up with the title and we have everybody like, or maybe we'll do an episode. You guys record your thing and we'll just compile it as
the worst. I'll tell you the worst thing that I've heard. And it happened to a designer that I know. We had used this vendor made furniture, but also made accessories. And I had used a mirror in a design house. And I noticed every day I would go into the design house and there were these little wood chips underneath the mirror. And I was like, that's so strange. And I would clean it up. And so lo and behold, there were bugs the wood coming out of the mirror, which is very gross. And it was a small mirror, right? And it was a design house. So, whatever. Fast forward.
Infestation.
So the designer, she used to be my intern and she was aware of this mirror bug issue. Fast forward 2 years and she specifies a dining table for a client from this vendor.
Uh-oh.
She installs the dining table.
Oh God.
And that night the client calls her and there are bugs coming out of the dining table. Oh. She calls the vendor and the vendor says, oh, don't worry. Those are just beetles. we recommend just doing a sealant and it'll keep them inside.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Not even kidding, Liz.
She
knew that I'd had the weird thing with the mirror. The vendor actually said to her with a totally straight face, oh, yeah, no, you don't, because they were worried they were termites. And so the vendor's like, no, they're not termites. They're just beetles.
They're just, you know, thousands of beetles living in your dining table as you eat dinner. No problem.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't imagine. Who wants to keep that table? And I'm sure it was $1 billion too. Oh my God.
So disgusting. Oh, don't worry about it. Those are just beetles. If you seal it, they'll just stay inside. They'll just stay inside. It's fine.
They'll just die a slow, sealed up death.
I was like, oh, that story. This story is like 10 years old and it stays with me like all the time. I know. It's one of the best ones I've heard.
I'm going to think of a fun title and we're either going to have an episode or a book. Maybe it's an episode that turns into a book.
I was going to say, I think that you should do a cocktail party episode where we just go around and we tell those stories.
Yes, that would be so fun. Yeah, Sally was like, you need to do a panel. But I think as we all crave being together because we all work as the big bosses by ourselves, you know, sort of our wonderful teams. Yeah.
It's this stuff. It's the stuff you can't make up that you have to share. And it's like when we get together, it makes me so happy and I just feel so much better. Yeah, not to say that, and it's not that I'm sorry that anybody else is also going through the same things, it is comforting to know that, you know, we're all dealing with it.
It's not our fault. No, that's not what it's more like. Sharing, it's therapizing to sort of, don't worry. It's okay. This happens to everyone. Feel understood. And it just helps to talk about things, right? In any industry, in any sort of thing you're going through after a struggle or a challenge, you've got to debrief, decompress, get it out there.
Have it comes back to therapy.
Go, okay. Yes, it is. It's like therapy. Well, you know, therapists have to have therapy. Really?
Yes, right.
Unload all the things they're processing from their patients. So I think, you know, we went going full circle here. We both studied mental health. I think client service needs a decompression chamber in a safe space.
In a safe space, right? Which generally the Millies or the like.
Over froses, which really loosen things up. Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk more about textiles, but now we got into bugs and things. But how's the textile business going? You were just in Florida and Naples and doing a tour of textiles. What's going on there?
Yes. So textiles is going great. We were down in Florida. I did. So we have an amazing showroom in Palm Beach. We're at Hive, which
I go to the coffee shop there. I have to stop right there. And I pointed out to my entire family because my in-laws are in Palm Beach area. And I was like, this is my friend. All these pillows. I know the pillows and the bowls. Was like, check this out. That's Marika. Everybody look. She's killing it.
Oh, thanks, Liz.
Yes. Sorry, continue.
No, that makes me so happy. I know. I mean, what they're doing down there is amazing. Anybody who has opportunity just to stop into any of the Hive showrooms, I highly recommend it. It's just, I mean, totally amazing. So I was over there just doing an education event on textiles for their like whole staff and the McCann design group, which was great. And then we went over to Naples and did a tabletop event over there called Naples Tables and did... We took one of our patterns, Tree of Life, which is like 4 to 5 colorway. We did it as single colorway and we inverted the colors. So we did a saturated ground with white relief And it was so much fun. It was just so much fun to do. My in-laws are down in Naples. And so my mother-in-law is like design aficionado. She's so supportive and for years had been encouraging me to do it. So it was really fun to go there and to have their support to do it. So that was a lot of fun. And then I was like, where are we next? We've got a couple things. We'll be up in the Hamptons, I think, in July for textiles. So it's been really fun. It's been neat to also be able to go out and meet a lot of other vendors and just talk about kind of like trends and what's happening in the industry. And everybody's so creative and has different like points of view and angles. And I love talking shop. I mean, I could talk shop all day long. And so it's been a lot. I mean, it's just been a lot of fun. You know, we're all across the country and it's great. I mean, it's just great. And then we have our rugs. So we were lucky enough to do a collaboration with Galleria, Kevin at Galleria, who's just so lovely. And they now have their shop in Charlottesville. And so we're doing a lot on the rug front, which is also a lot of fun, all just taking our patterns and doing completely custom weaves and custom colors.
How does that work when you partner with Galleria? Do you provide the designs and then obviously they're manufacturing, but
they're doing the manufacturing.
Okay. So do you pick the materials and you give them the design? Do they figure out the pattern repeat, or is that part of what you give them, the art? Okay.
So they have our rough art. And then beyond that, it is like dropping it in. So we just got a rug order for like a very large rug out of Florida. And so it's just partnering with Galleria, and they're wonderful because we can do our rendering. So we can do renderings, we can do yarn selections. We can even do custom strike offs for like, if you have a client and you're like, oh, you know, they just need to see things. They can't conceptualize anything. So again, it's really just trying to be the best tool for designers and aligning ourselves with really great partners. So just like the showrooms that we're in, partnering with Galleria, it's just been amazing and such a treat. And it's fun. It's fun to see all this stuff come to life in a way that I never necessarily thought that it would have when I first started. So it's exciting. You know, right now I'm also working on, I've been sketching I have this like kind of a few ambitious patterns that I'm trying to work on right now. So I'm trying to chart through that and figure out how to bring these like line, you know, a lot of times I'll start with brushes and I'll do like brush work or watercolor work, but I'm doing one with like line drawing. And so I'm trying to translate that into pattern. And so it's neat, you know, it's just fun and different.
Hearing the creative process and how you even start, you know, start sketching or watercolor brushing, brushing with watercolor. I think that sounds, I have no idea. I've never done it. I've always been curious about it. I love wallpaper. And so I fantasize about, oh, I would love to create wallpaper. And I don't know the first thing. So selfishly, I'm asking these questions because we never talk about it. And I would like to know, how do you do this? And then from a business standpoint, as you scale, and we don't have to get into specifics, but is it more of a passion project and a PR moment that you are able to brand, or is it really becoming a nice additional stream of revenue if you feel comfortable?
I would advise anybody who's interested in going into textiles that this is not how they are going to retire.
Got it. Okay, that answers some questions. Yeah.
No, you know what? I mean, it's different for me, right? Because it's not something that I can devote all my time to. And I also personally like I love interiors. I love construction so much. I love the client piece of it. Like I love the interior design piece of it so much that I could never step away from that.
Let's say you've got a big team in an office, and how many people are on your team right now?
All together, we are seven.
That's
a lot of people.
Big flow of projects to, you know, have that many people serve it too. So that's your primary focus. And then all of the textiles and rugs are sort of a nice passion, and who knows, and they continue to grow. It takes a while to establish that, I would imagine, you know?
It takes, you know, when we first started out, we got great advice and someone was like, it's 5 years to profitability. So that makes you really appreciate those memos and treat them very well, even more.
I know, they are like presents these days. I got one, like you mentioned, that had the beautiful ribbon and the paper. I was like, I feel bad opening this, and this is going in my trash can right here. And then I put it out of my mind.
Well, then, right. And then you like take it to the client's house and the client's dog eats it or pees on it. And, you know, so, right. So like, I see our sample, you know, like the sample, the invoices for the sampling. And I'm just like, oh, I know there's a dog chewing the samples right now.
And the rug. And the rug samples. And actually, you know, I'm just thinking back to this is totally going back, to, you know, out of order here, but when we do these concept meetings online, I was just chatting with my internal team yesterday. You know, there's a lot of, you see on Instagram, these beautiful, I don't know how you present to clients. Actually, that'll be, I'm curious, you can give me the short answer to that, because I know we're going over that hour we promised, but I could talk to you for 10 hours, so I'll keep going. You see on Instagram, these wonderful presentations where people are laying out these experiences. You know, there's candles, there's silverware next to stuff. It's gorgeous. And I'm thinking, that is not what my clients are getting. Because we're efficient, we're trying to be a bit more efficient, and nothing down on that. It looks beautiful. I don't think my peeps are really wanting to make time for all of that necessarily. So what am I trying to say? The online, back to your sustainability and memo samples, we use the Google Slides presentation format as a concept meeting where we show online, which I know is not the same as touching and feeling, but to sort of narrow the field instead of ordering 5 billion samples, because then oftentimes we'll get two sets. The client gets a set, we get a set. You talk about the shipping and the ribbons and the paper. Yeah. So if we show a lot more, like, here's what we want to put in this room. Here's another page of pillow options, so to speak. And then we have that initial Zoom meeting to cull it down. By the time I get to their home to touch and feel, and sure, we can light a candle and bring a gold fork. But, you know, then we've whittled it down to a few, and then we're not shipping as much. I'm going to add that into another reasoning as to why that works, because some clients will say, I really need to see in person. Of course, we do want to show you in person. I'm not eliminating that, but we don't need to see 50 in person. Let's you know, do you hate this pattern? Then I don't need to have it shipped in a ribbon to veto it.
That's right. That's right. It's just right. The way, like, the waste, it gets to the point of just like consumption for consumption's sake. And I will say that I think, especially coming out of COVID, right? And everybody's busy, everybody's swamped, and our clients are swamped, we're swamped. And I find that now fewer clients want to linger, and more are like, just tell me what to do. Let's just do it. Right. And it's great when you have somebody who wants to linger and have fun. Like, that's amazing. But a lot of people, to your point, are like, you know, I have a client and I can look out my window. I see her house and she's like, can you just send me Google Docs with like recommendations? And because she, you know, she's a lawyer, she's billing by the hour, she's super busy. And she's like, I don't want to, you know, it cost her $1,500 in lost income to have an hour long meeting with me, right? Which she's paying me too. So they're like, can you just send it? And I think people are also so accustomed now to seeing things online and in that format that they're really comfortable with it. And I mean, granted, like, touching and feeling is really nice too. It's interesting, you know, it's like, for a real practicing designer who is hustling and who's busy, we don't have time. We have to be efficient, right? Like, we don't, I'm not going to show you a mood candle and want to hear about your thoughts and feelings about it. Unless you tell me up front that, I mean, efficiency is like my favorite word.
I shouldn't be so apologetic about it, because I think a lot of folks who are hiring designers, because it's a service, it's a time-saving service. But you know, I was younger starting out and I knowingly had less confidence. I'd want to get their way feedback immediately and bring a lot of stuff just in case. And I would get clients saying to me, just Liz, you tell me the three things. I'm doing them a disservice by bringing this many options. I really need to bring two or three. But when Sally and I chat, it's like, we didn't have the confidence back then, because we thought, what if they said, I hate it? And then we're like, die inside and don't know what to do. So now that we have confidence and experience, we can say, here are two amazing options. The whole thing doesn't fall apart if you change the pillow. Here's a couple more to consider if this really isn't gelling. But 9 times out of 10, if we love the plan, we internally were like, woo, singing, then everybody else it's usually a slam dunk.
Right. It's so easy. I tell clients this all the time, especially with construction, when we're taking on a kitchen, we're taking on a bathroom. It seems so overwhelming. I appreciate that it feels overwhelming, but what I tell them is, in reality, there are 2 good faucet options.
Uh-huh.
There are 3 good mirror options. And there's like 2 cabinet styles that may or may not work for you. So I'm like, we will, you know, like, depending on what everybody's style is, right? Like, a modern farmhouse is different than like a traditional or something like that. But I'm like, there are not that many options that work for whatever lane that you're in, you know? So I'm like, let's just streamline it and let's just cut out all the noise and make it a lot easier and not, and just make it easier for you. I tell clients all the time, like, we want you to enjoy the process. I'm like, I think I've said now like 3 times that I'm an insomniac. Like, I'll be up in the middle of the night worrying about your project. You don't have to be, you know, like, you can.
I'm in the shower reconfiguring all the selections and schemes, going, oh, wait, I forgot to do this. Let's move the chair, you know.
That is literally.
And also right, you have your go-tos. Like you were saying, like there are a couple faucets that work. That's because if you like Marika's portfolio and style, she spends her life figuring out the three faucets that are her favorite. So you don't have to, right? So if right. you want your bathroom to feel like this level of bathroom, then we already know where to find it. We're going to go here and these are our three options.
Yeah. This is our lane. And then from there, you know, then we can be expressive with our wallpaper, our, you know, we're doing custom monogram towels. Are we doing, you know, whatever else that we're doing. But it's like, if you, for the building envelope, especially I think like in the DC market where resale's on everybody's mind all the time.
Oh, man.
It's like, let's make good design decisions both for you, but also just like being prudent in the decisions we're making. You know, it's like, where do you, you know, fine, you can be a little expressive on your backsplash, but I'm not going to have you do that on, you know, I'm not going to have you do that on like choosing outrageous colors on all of your custom cabinetry that you're going to want to replace in 2 years.
Oh my gosh. So true. You know? And you know what real estate agents do for each other? Maybe we should start this for designers. Hear me out. They have these pricing, they have showings of the house, and then they all get together just as the agents and have a pricing meeting. We could have group design meetings. Right? Here's my presentation, guys. Come on over. We're going to have coffee or a drink and everyone's going to walk around and go, nope, nope. You forgot that. You know, it's like a group session.
It'd be like a critique. It's like art school critique.
Yes.
Why don't we do that?
I know it would be maybe a little less efficient, but that they dedicate a day to it. It's like Tuesday is what do they call it? The tour.
Oh yeah. It's like broker opens. Right. Yeah. And they're like, how do you feel? Am I in the right air? We should do that. Yeah, well, you and Sally and I do remember this was years ago. And we had the idea that each one of us was going to go over to the other person's house to finish it because we were like, I was like, I cannot finish the last 5%. And it's like in your own house as a designer, you can never do it. And I'm like, okay, let's just trade. You finish my last 5%. I'll finish your last 5%. It'll be so much easier.
Well, I know, but I couldn't because when you're living, and I say this to clients, your own house is the hardest to design, which is another benefit of bringing in an outsider who can look at it more critically. Because when you're living in it, myself included, when you change something big, it feels wrong because your eye just can't unsee the change, right? The difference. It's different. Not good. But yes, I said, I can't do my living room. It's got a weird dividing thing that I think I'm supposed to have two sitting areas. That's when I reached out to you guys and I was like, would you guys come and do a little survey and just tell me, are my built-ins too tall? Something's off. I can't see it. I watch TV in here after work anyway, and I stopped paying attention, but somebody help me.
We need a designer.
You know what I'm doing. I always say the cobbler's kids have no shoes. People come over. I was like, yep, sorry. I don't. I come home. I'm done. I do everyone else's house.
Right. You're like, I'm too tired.
After living in the house nonstop during COVID, it's like, yep, that kitchen reno is happening now, you know? And my poor husband came home and I had wallpapered our two-story foyer with Tebow Tanzania, you know, which is.
Oh, yes.
Everybody can look that up. I don't want to say the leopard. It's not really a leopard.
No, but it's in.
It's so fun. I think it was like black and white confetti in a way. So it made me very happy in my COVID depression. And my husband came home. I can still see him coming up the kitchen, like thinking everything's normal. He's got his phone to his ear, burp, 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 walks in and mouths WTF. I was like, look what I did. Surprise. Isn't it happy? And P.S. all the trick-or-treaters love it. They always come like, I love your wallpaper. The teenagers are taking TikToks in front of it. So I think I'm onto something. It looks
You're like I am definitely onto something. I just got a couch from like an upcycled place and they delivered it. And I'm not sure what I'm going to do, like if I'm going to recover it or whatever. Anyways, they delivered it and Mike came home and he was like, what is that? And I was like, it's our new couch. And he was like, do you like that color? And then I was like,
I do.
Well, me? Like, what if I do? What if I don't like that color? You know? And he was like, right. He never has like a strong opinion out of it. And I was like, okay, I guess apparently we're going to recover the couch.
Well, they know what they got into. I mean, I this is like my laboratory. You know, I come home like, what would this bright teal blue look like in my bathroom? Wee, you know?
Right. You're like, you have to try it. I painted the boys' old bathroom like fluorescent green, the walls. Ooh. And because I was like, it was a black and white bathroom. And I was like,
fun.
You know what? Like, well, let's just see what this looks like. And Grayson was so little. And he was like, what happened in here?
My eyes.
And I was like, we don't, it was like a can of paint. I was like, we don't like it. It's an afternoon. I was like, it's 2 hours. So it was a tiny bathroom. I was like,
highlighter yellow looks like on the regular basis, right?
Yeah. Like, let's just see. Is this a good idea or a bad one?
What'd they think? Did you ultimately change it?
I did. It was like, just, you know why? It was like the way that it everybody looked so sick. The reflection, like it was so fun to look at, right? Like looking at it was really fun. And then you looked in the mirror and you just looked ill. Like you looked like you had just been throwing up for like several hours. It was so unflattering. And of course, it like didn't matter. But when we were selling the house, the realtor was like, first thing, she's like, "So you are painting that bathroom?" And I was like,
"Yes." We've had it like tour. White. Yeah. The tour of realtors have all weighed in and that bathroom's got to go white. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. The tour, the brokers open came and they were like, "We'd like that to be a lovely shade of off-white."
Yes, please. Cotton ball for the win. Thank you. Whatever. Oh my goodness. Right. I have kept you longer than you promised. And I know you're doing the things and are so busy. It's so fun to talk to you and hear your whole story again.
Oh, I know. I love chatting with you. I'm so amazed at everything you're doing. You always have such amazing things going on and I'm always impressed and I love getting to chat with you. And I'm sorry I missed you earlier this week. And I look forward to our next Designing Women support group.
Oh, likewise. Likewise. Well, you're a treat. So I love having you.
Aw, it's so nice to see you, my friend.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Behind the Drapery, where we pull back the curtain on the interior design industry through stories, insights, and creative processes that shape the spaces we create. Make sure you subscribe to get the latest episodes from your favorite podcast platform and visit our website at lizlevininteriors.com for more information.